under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you with us today. We're looking forward to your dialogue and discussion on a very serious issue. We're talking about today the subject that's on almost all lips, the subject that's on almost all television, radio, newspaper outlets today, war in Israel. War in Israel. We are watching today the stage being set, the players being put on the scene, the chessmen being moved, as you would call it, and God's ultimate plan, eschatologically speaking, with what shall take place in the last of the last days. Ladies and gentlemen, never since the Holocaust a number of years ago have we seen so many Jewish people slaughtered. Over 1,000 Jewish citizens have been killed today as a result of the invasion of by the Islamic jihadists out of the little narrow strip of land called Gaza. Gaza, a piece of land right on the Mediterranean coast, a little narrow strip, some wide, some places as wide as 7 miles, and others as narrow as 3 miles, total about 140 square miles, total of about 2 million people. And a place called Gaza. Gaza was surrendered from Israel to the jihadists in 2005, supposedly as a part of a peace plan. But ladies and gentlemen, we're watching far more than just the attack on Israel. We're watching far more than just the slaughter of Israeli citizens. We're watching more than just the slaughter of Jewish people. We're watching, ladies and gentlemen, the beginning stages of what ultimately, in my most humble opinion, based on the scripture at Ezekiel 38 and 39, the war with Russia, where Russia will lead a league of five nations, Islamically controlled nations, against the nation of Israel. We're watching today as this looming war continues in Israel. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, let me just put a little parenthetical footnote. This is not a 2 or 3 day war. This is not a week or two war. I believe this will be a protracted, elongated, spreading, cantrous slaughter being carried out by the regime that's been funded by the Biden and Obama administration called Iran. We're going to talk about that today. Love to hear from you. Right after the brief monologue, we're going to entertain our calls and our guest with the question, what do you believe? What is happening? What's going to be the end result? What caused it? What should we do as Christians, as conservatives, as countrymen in America? How should we view this brutal jihadist slaughter on men, women, boys, and girls in Israel? How should we respond? But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as we look at the issues, we view them through the prism of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It is the truth book. When Jesus speaks to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, The scripture says in a declaratory statement, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the word of God, according to Psalms 117, verse 2, that endures forever. It never falters. It never falls. It never fails. And ladies and gentlemen, may I say this? In Zechariah, the 12th chapter, and the second verse and following, God says, behold. Word means look intently and see. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. And ladies and gentlemen, we're watching what God's word says, and we need to understand that God has said it, and that settles it. God says, you come against Israel. By the way, Israel is the apple of God's eye, the scripture says. God's word says, you come against me, my people, you will be slaughtered. I have said for many, many years, ladies and gentlemen, America needs to stand with Israel with no space between. There needs to be an ironclad, solid standing. Those that bless Israel will be blessed. Those nations that curse Israel, God will curse, according to the scripture. So as we look at the events today, very, very somber events, very sad, serious events, the war in Israel, or should I say the war against Israel. That's literally the bottom line. Ladies and gentlemen, it's when we look at this from the truth book perspective, there are a lot of folks that will disagree. We'll talk about that today also. The number of those in the U.S. House and the U.S. Senate that's now speaking out against Israel, saying that Israel is the aggressor, Israel is the terrorist, and that Hamas, the Islamic terrorist, jihadist, are the ones that are being put upon. Ladies and gentlemen, well, let me just say this. I cannot understand, cannot grasp, cannot put my mind around how we've put people in the U.S. House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate that hate America and hate Israel and want to do everything to undermine and destroy it. It's because we have so many that stand against truth. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see that to be taking place today as never before. May I say to you, we have a number of those, especially the younger Americans, 18 to 35-year-old age group, wouldn't recognize, many of them wouldn't recognize truth if it slapped them in the face. That's the reason you find in New York City, some down in Miami, some in Atlanta over the weekend, marching and demonstrating and pulling for, if you will, the Islamic jihadist, the Hamas that's coming against Israel. I'm looking at an article that says most younger Americans, that's M-O-S-T, most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. In fact, the survey says, and according to this article, 55% of Americans, millennial age group, 18 to 35 years old, say that each person determines his or her own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't bifurcate truth. There's only one version of truth. It's either the truth or it's a lie. There's no such thing as a half-truth. A half-truth is a whole lie. We need to go back to the 15th century theologian, church reformer Jan Hus, that made this powerful statement. Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. We as Christians, conservatives, patriots in America need to realize that time has come, not shall come, time has come, that we are called upon to stand for truth, to verbalize truth, to defend the truth, to love the truth, and defend it even to death. It's our responsibility. What do we pass on to our next generations if we do not stand for truth? One of the things we find that's problematic today, so many of the kids coming out of high school and college and university have been taught a lie through the communist, socialist, Marxist professors that they believe America is bad, that Israel is bad, and that we need to stand against it. I'm saddened to see that, but it's because of the bifurcation of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for those looking to own landscape or lawn care business. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and I-295. You'll find a benchmark, an identifier. There's a 165-foot flagpole, the U.S. flag, Old Glory, flowing 24/7. Base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, 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 there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the full staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God as God's word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Israel just made the statement. Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister, says we at war. Israel has ordered the, listen, Israel has ordered the full siege of Gaza with the orders to destroy the enemy, not just to push the enemy back, not just to cohabitate with the enemy, coexist with the enemy, but to destroy the enemy. Ladies and gentlemen, we believe that 9 or more Americans have been killed in this savage attack on Israel. We believe that a number of them have been taken hostage. Ladies and gentlemen, over 1,000 Jewish citizens have been killed by the invading Islamic jihadist mob coming out of Gaza. As of today, ladies and gentlemen, more than 5,000 rockets have been launched into Israel by the Iranian-sponsored terrorist Hamas, the front being there in Gaza. Listen, let me just give you a little statistical data. Perhaps I touched on it earlier. Gaza is a landmass of about 140 square miles right on the Mediterranean coast. 2 million people. All of them are Islamic jihadists. All of them are anxious to destroy Israel. They believe that Israel is the enemy that displaced them and took their land. Now, we could talk about this all day. Who owns the land? God gave the land to Israel, didn't give it to anybody called. There's no such ethnic group as Palestinians that doesn't exist. They're called Palestinians. But ladies and gentlemen, when 1947, when it was divided by the League of Nations, and finally the settlement in 1948, when Israel became a nation, May 15th, 1948. But in 47, when it was decided there would be a two-state solution, and that the Arab jihadists would have their state, and that Israel would have theirs, the jihadists refused to do that. They refused to participate. They refused to take part in a two-state solution. They've always refused to do so because they do not want but one state, and that state being the Islamic jihadist, and their goal has always been and still is today in the Hamas charter, still today, to destroy, to eviscerate, to wipe out the Jewish people as a nation. It's a serious time. And we're watching God's eschatological clock ticking. We're watching God's prophetic word leaping off the pages and becoming reality. We're witnessing today, ladies and gentlemen, the formation in part for what shall be found in the eschatological text of the Word of God for the last of the last days. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood. Can you hear
me? Go ahead. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. I tell you what. Bless you. And you've already said what I was going to say. And I'm going to tell you, it's his puppet masters that's doing this. If we got to stick with Israel, we have to stick with them through the whole thing. Now, you give them money to Ukraine because that's their money laundering system.
Mm-hmm.
For the family. So you're trying to protect what you got, you know, your money. But I hope, I pray to God, I hope that we stick with Israel through this whole thing. Because,
well, you know, if I could jump in for just a moment, Kenneth, you know, with Barack Hussein Obama, the Islamic jihadist in the Oval Office, with no credentials as president of the United States, and now with Joe Biden, they have both said we stand with Israel. But we need to understand words do not equate to deeds. And for some time, Joe Biden has been carrying out Obama's plan to appease and to pay and to use Iran as the leader to wipe out and destroy the nation of Israel. In fact, just recently with the $6 billion that was given to Iran. And yet, perhaps you're familiar with that. And yet, Tony Blinken, the Secretary of State, the former strip dancer, now Secretary of State, said that Iran did not use a penny of the $6 billion, but that was all for humanitarian reasons. Well, money is fungible. If you put $6 billion in one account, you can then spend up to $6 billion out of another account without touching your own money. And that's exactly what they've done. So when Biden says we stand with Israel, I shudder at the thought of what is taking place with the chessmen being moved on the board behind the scenes by the Biden administration. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Okay. As a matter of fact, you said the right thing. But it is sad that this administration, and like you said, he got puppet masters, number one, James Snowball, especially Barack Obama, because I remember when Benjamin Netanyahu came over here, he had him come through the back door. He left out the front.
Mm-hmm.
When the Muslim Brotherhood came over, he greeted them in the front of the White House.
That's right.
And spent, what, 3 or 4 hours with them?
That's right.
He spent like less than an hour, and he was trying to tell them about Iran, you know, their threat with the nuclear capabilities. He didn't want to hear it. It's coming to pass. Like you said, and the Bible speaks about it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. One of the things that it should cause every Christian, every conservative, every patriot in America, we need to sit up and take notice as to what's taking place. This is not just a drop in the bucket. This is not just a 24-hour, 48-hour, or 2-week ordeal. This, I believe, will be an elongated, protracted war in the Middle East. And I believe it will set fire to the entire Middle East, and I believe it will bring Russia and China and Iran into the full front of the battle that shall ultimately take place. We need to understand what God is doing. And the way that's done is to go back to the Word of God. Look at the Scripture and see what God says. Gaza was surrendered in 2005 to the jihadists on the premise that it would bring about peace in Israel. Israel has always given up land and territory. If you look at the Scripture in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, you find that the territory that God gave Israel and what Israel has today is just a postage stamp in comparison to the totality, because God gave the nation of Israel all of the land from the Mediterranean up to the Euphrates River and down through, including all that is called Saudi Arabia today. And yet Israel has never possessed the total land that God's given them. So, Kenneth, all we can do is keep praying, keep looking up. The realization that we're watching. Here's the emphasis that I make. Today, we're watching God's word come to fruition. We're watching the reality of God's eschatological prophetic text leaping off the pages. We need to realize that God is God, and God is still on the throne, and God's going to bring about exactly as he said that it would in his word. Kenneth, thank you so much, brother, for calling. Thank you for your insight. Keep looking up and keep praying. God bless you. I believe we have Glenn on the line. Glenn, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Yeah, people have to understand that Barack Hussein Obama is a Muslim. He came out publicly while he was in office and said if there was ever a conflict, he would side with the Muslims. Mm-hmm. He referred to ISIS as ISIL, ISIL, Islamic State, Islam. But ISIL, the last letter L, Levant, because the Arabs do not believe in the nation of Israel. They call it the Levant. Okay? They're claiming that territory. Israel has never occupied completely all the land that they were given from the Old Testament.
Right.
And then when they regained Jerusalem in 1948, I believe it was May of 1948, after World War II, the British flag came down and the Star of David flag went up, and the nation of Israel reconstituted as no other nation, no other nation in the history of the world reconstituted, fulfilling the book of Ezekiel that God would raise up a nation of dry bones, and mm-hmm. he did, and drew the Jews back to their homeland. The Palestinian conflict, they want to call it on the news, the media, and these other people, they have manufactured something to claim that that land belonged to Palestinians. Where is the land of Palestine? Mm-hmm. Okay, someone needs to dig down and do a little history and research. If these folks are indeed supposedly refugees from a homeland, why do none of the other Arabs accept them? None of them will be accepted mm-hmm. in another Arab country because it's a non-issue. However, in order to keep peace, like you said, they've continually given away land, and then the terrorists occupy – make sure you understand this – your Palestinians, Hamas, is a terrorist organization that is bent on just the destruction of Israel, okay? So our American government, taxpayer dollars, supposedly on one hand going to help Israel – but on the other hand, funding the Muslims that want to destroy Israel. How do you do that? This seems like a conflict, doesn't it?
Yes.
After the terrorist events Saturday, the Israeli ambassador to the UN, his name Gilad, G-I-L-A-D, Erdan, was proclaiming that this is their 9/11, okay? Never again, he said. Let me quote this just quickly. He said, "For many years, we lived side by side with Gaza. We believe that it's possible, even though, and I hope the viewers know, that Hamas is a genocidal, jihadist, Islamist organization that is fully committed only to the annihilation of the state of Israel. They don't want to compromise. They don't want a dialogue. They don't want to see the existence of the Jewish state. And so when we evacuated, we withdrew from Gaza 17, 18 years ago. They took power. And since then, they used, exploited every inch, every square inch in the Gaza Strip, and they turned basically the Gaza Strip into a war machine. We cannot allow this situation of Gaza as a war machine to continue, and we are committed, starting from today, to change the equation. We won't have another 9/11, and as we said, since the Holocaust, where Jews were butchered and massacred, never again, and never again is today." All right? He's putting the stake in the ground and drawing a line. This is the Israeli ambassador to the UN. They know what's coming. They know what's up, okay? Even today, there's supposed protest planned for Jacksonville, Florida, in front of the courthouse. I don't know why Jacksonville is a target. They claim that supposedly somebody from the sheriff's office has been listed. Your Hamas group claims that someone from the sheriff's office has been groomed by Israel to have Israeli-style policing against the Arabs or Muslims. What? Where does this come from? They push rhetoric out there so that the media will embrace them as some sort of freedom fighter, while all the while they are attacking Israel. They are the suspects, not the victims here. They're the suspects, but they're going to play the victim card, which is what we see over and over again, and it plays right into the hands of, unfortunately, a lot of, we'll call them liberal Democrats, utopian thinkers. You will have no utopia on earth, okay? Heaven on earth only comes after God's kingdom resets here, okay? The idea that, well, if we just take the guns away from everybody, nobody will get hurt. Really? Well, then only the bad guys have them, all right? But that mentality, it just feeds right into the fact that the suspects are a plain victim. The wolves pretend to be sheep. So go back to Barack Obama. We know that his organization, his political machine, is still deeply embedded in the Biden administration. They have not been giving Israeli funding and money for aid, okay? But they did release funds, as you said earlier, to Iran, okay? And then those weapons are being used by Hamas. The weapons that Iran has funded being used by Hamas against Israel. Wow. Wow. What side is America on? And if we're not on Israel's side, we're in trouble. Our Bible in Genesis, God promised Abraham that he would bless those that bless him and curse those who curse him, and it goes forward all the way to modern-day Israel. If we're not on Israel's side, we're not on God's side because Israel is God's chosen people. We're in a very precarious situation here.
Absolutely. One of the things that, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is one of our four sons, Glenn. Glenn is retired law enforcement, has a good insight on the scripture, and he's on target with what is being said. Glenn, if you could hold for a moment, I believe we have Lily on the line. Let's entertain a thought and comment from Lily. Lily, go with your question or comment, please.
Okay. Good day, Dr. Youngblood. Thank you. I'm just amazed to see the way America has been, you know, going, being led like a lamb to the slaughter in deception and lies, to think that we end up have Muslims who do not regard share our values in our Congress, and people who are leading, celebrating in, right here in New York, in the United States, celebrating what the what has gone on in the Middle East there now involving Israel. I am amazed. Listening to Glenn, things become a little clearer to me at that point, because I have just the contradiction that you brought out to have been looking at it. So why these people, their actions is building up Israel and building up the enemy, the Hamas, and the people who plan to destroy Israel. And at the same time, you see, oh, quick, he jumped to say, we are on the side of Israel. And as far as I have been listening, a lot of ammunition and American artillery is gone over to the Middle East. So I'm seeing something like what happened with the Ukraine. It's like with the Ukraine, that war didn't have to start, but we could actually see them encouraging it and moving into it. And it's like I see them now trying to move into World War III. We're stirring up the Middle East, and because if you're saying one thing and doing something, I mean, God help those who believe in the lies. Because if you are building up the enemy, how can you say you are on the side of and pretend? Other actions show something else.
Absolutely. Lily, we're on a hard break for the top of the hour news. Thank you for your call. You're spot on with your insights. We need to keep praying, keep looking up, because Jesus is coming soon. Glenn, if you would hang in there till right after the top of the hour news, love to continue our conversation. Ladies and gentlemen, don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
V. This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
The multi-pronged terrorist attack on Israel has killed at least 1,200 people so far, many of them civilians. Four Americans among the foreigners who lost their lives, an Israeli military official says the Jewish state is now fighting for its life. There are reports that Iran played a role in planning and helping to execute the attack on Israel, and Iran does fund Hamas. That's raising new questions about the Biden administration's recent decision releasing $6 billion in frozen Iranian assets. The U.S. is sending arms to Israel, along with an aircraft carrier outfitted with warplanes, in addition to cruisers and destroyers being dispatched to the eastern Mediterranean. Watching Wall Street, stocks are lower right now, with the Dow down 58 points, while the NASDAQ is off 80 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Do you have earned college credits but no diploma? Would you like to finish your certified degree program? Conservative Theological University can help. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE to schedule your interview appointment. Please leave your contact information for the admission staff to reach out to you. Today's the day. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE for Conservative Theological University.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on two stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about war on Israel. War declared on Israel. Israel has declared war in relationship to that Islamic jihadist slaughter that has taken place. We understand it's now over 1,200 dead as a result of that surprise attack. I'm looking at headline. Israel military confirms some Israeli towns are under siege by Hamas control after the major attack. Israel has authorized the mobilization of all reservist troops and confirmed that retaliatory strikes are underway in Gaza. The article states, Israel hasn't seen an attack like this in this magnitude for years. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, it's been 50 years. It was in 1973, what was called the Yom Kippur War. And this was at the celebration of Yom Kippur in 2023, 50 years later, when the attack took place, slaughtering men, women, boys and girls, with thousands taken hostage, slaughtered, and maligned simply for being Jewish. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at another headline. Israel declared state of war after surprise Islamic Hamas attack. The article says, we're at war. Israeli Prime Minister declares following the infiltration of dozens of terrorists and rocket fire into Israel. We need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, we're dealing with what could be the beginning of God's eschatological prophetic clock ticking, bringing about, jumping off the pages of the newspapers and off the television screens, God's prophetic eschatological truth. The scripture is very clear, ladies and gentlemen, that in Zechariah the 12th chapter, verses 2 and following, God says, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people around the earth be gathered together against it." And then in Psalms 122, verse 6, we're charged with the responsibility to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And that's what we need to do today. I believe we have Pastor Tommy Pierce on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Well, Dr. Pierce is here in the southern tip of heaven, Greenville County, East Tennessee. He is pastor of the Towering Oaks Baptist Church.
Amen.
He has about 50 years in the pulpit, about 15 additional years of post-secondary education, and he has been to that great state of Israel at least, 26 times. He's had it. I'm jealous every time I hear him talking about Israel, and he has plans to depart in January and head there for another 15-day trip. However, Lord willing, those plans might be on hold. But here he is, and may be able to give some insight, some input as to what's taking place in Israel today.
Dr. Pearson, for Greg, and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, Greg is another one of our four sons, and we've got Glenn on hold, so we'll have a three-way communication in just a moment in relationship to this that is taking place in Israel. But Dr. Pearson, if you would give your insight from your perspective, what do you see happening? How does this align with the Word of God? What should we expect as citizens, as Christians, as patriots in America? I know that's a loaded combination question, but just talk for a moment and speak to our listeners as to your position and what your thoughts are.
Well, Dr. Youngblood, we thank you for allowing me to be on for just a minute. I took my first trip to Israel in 1970 as a young kid, and it was right after the Six-Day War and just before the Yom Kippur War. And back then, we would go and we'd have soldiers ride the bus and all kinds of things. And we've seen a ebb and flow of events over there. But I think the thing that most people miss, having gone through the years, is the Jews and the Arabs generally get along pretty well until things like this happen, where you have the extremists on both sides. And what people fail to realize is this is spiritual warfare. That mm-hmm. it's Satan who puts these things in the hearts and the minds of a small number of people who are able to excite the numbers and cause them to do things that are nothing but satanic and fulfillment of Scripture. God knew it was going to happen. He predicted it was going to happen. And he's using it to move the world forward according to his time clock and what Scripture says. I personally believe that this is a precursor to the Great Northern War of Ezekiel 38, 39, and that part of Scripture, and don't know how quickly it will escalate, but I believe it is a precursor to that. I have friends over there who are both Jews and Christian Arabs. I use Christian Arabs to guide the trips when we go, and one thing is for sure, they all see that this is getting very, very serious time. Unfortunately, most of the nation over there are secular Jews. While they are Jewish, they are not Jewish as far as biblical understanding. They follow the rabbis more than they follow the Mishnah and the Torah. So it's interesting to see how these things are going to be coming down and how quickly they can move one way or the other.
Dr. Pierce, let me ask you a question. And you and Greg and Glenn, all three chime in, each one. Do we see any indication that America, with its funding through the Barack Hussein Obama administration, plane loads of cash to Iran. And now with Joe Biden's $6 billion to Iran, is it possible that we as a nation, we've been funding the enemy? And as we see now, the greatest Holocaust against Israel since the Holocaust with the Nazis in the 40s. Do you see the potentiality that what we've done as a nation, we've turned our backs on Israel and thus turned our backs on God? Is that possible? And if that is possible, from your perspective, will God judge us as a nation?
Absolutely. But you know, the other thing that people miss is U.S. has been funding that all the time by supplying money to the Palestinian Authority, who mm-hmm. give money to the families of the martyrs who live in the West Bank or Judea and Samaria.
Right.
They've been, if you die as a martyr, they're going to take care of your family from then on. And the U.S. has been funding that for years now.
The pallets
of cash that you referenced coming during the Obama administration, and now $6 billion transferred, released. Of course, they're saying it's third party. Held for Iran. Iran has been a state sponsor of terrorism as declared going all the way back to 1980. Nothing has changed. They're an international state sponsor of terrorism. Those dollars are fungible. They end up in the hands of those martyrs. Or the families of the martyrs that end up in the hands of organizations like Hamas and Hezbollah. And of course, recognizing that Iran is kind of the head of the snake there, Israel has already declared its plans. And Dr. Pierce articulated that just a little while ago. You know, they first intend to bury their dead. Then they intend to deal with Hamas. And then they intend to deal with Iran. As Iran becomes the focus of attention, when the strikes take place, when their nuclear capacity is wiped out, I believe then we see Russia step into the breach, and Russia, Iran, Syria, and a couple other nations come against that nation of Israel. I think when that takes place, we don't pack our bags. We just listen for that trumpet sound, because the Lord is coming soon.
Absolutely. Glenn, are you still hanging in there with us?
Oh yes, I'm okay. Nodding my head and saying, yep.
we can't see you holding your hand up to speak, but
right. I've got my hand up for a while now, but you're all over the target. All three of you are all over the target. I was going to just offer this for those who don't remember or are not reading history. When Bill Clinton was in office and he was standing between Yasser Arafat, the head of the PLO at the time, PLO, they changed the name of it, Palestinian Liberation Organization, then it became something else. But the current, at that time, the Jewish prime minister was basically strong-armed into signing a peace agreement with Yasser Arafat. When Yasser Arafat got up to speak, now, he said, Arafat, in perfect Arabic for his Islamic Muslim listeners, he said, this is a trick. This is a lie. We will not keep the peace. But to the naive, innocent people who believed that that was a show of peace and agreement and some sort of coordination, all right, they did not realize Arafat was signaling to his people, this is a lie. This is exactly what the Antichrist will do in the end times, in the middle of the 7 years, at the 3.5 year mark. He's going to break the peace agreement and declare war on Israel during the tribulation time. The Islamic people, the Muslims, are enslaved to Islam. Not all Muslims are bad people, but they will not denounce Hamas. They will not come against the Islamic terrorists because they will be kicked out of their own religion as infidels, okay, non-believers. They are not worshiping Jehovah God. They will tell you to your face, and I've been to Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, their God is not Jehovah God of the Jews and the Christians. Their God did not have a son, the Messiah. They are worshiping a different God, and therein lies the problem. Israel is worshiping Jehovah God. Christians are worshiping Jehovah God. The other side is against Jehovah God. That's why you see it erupt and erupt. They can live peaceably for a while, but if they will not denounce the Islamic terrorism, okay, then they are on their other side. The Quran gives the Muslims permission to lie to the infidel. You must understand that. They will tell you whatever you want to hear to make them appear to be the victim, but they are the aggressor. That's the bottom line.
In fact,
we have to support Israel.
Glenn, and for our listening audience, we need to understand, you touched on it very succinctly and so aptly, that with Islam in the Quran, and I've quoted it many, many, many times in my book, Is Islam Tolerant? 25 chapters, 324-page book, Is Islam Tolerant? No, Islam is not tolerant. In fact, in the Quran, it says that they are, holy jihad is the war against everyone that's a non-believer, and a non-believer, indicated in the Quran, are all those that are not Muslims. Their goal is to destroy. Now, let's switch gears for just a moment, and I need to get to the three of you, one at a time, to give your input. Looking at a headline, President Donald Trump says, Biden betrayed Israel, end quote. During the consecutive speeches in Iowa, two different Iowa cities, former President Donald J. Trump linked President Joe Biden's foreign policy to Hamas terrorist attack on the country. Quote, Joe Biden betrayed Israel, Donald Trump said. Trump repeatedly cited the current president's release of $6 billion in frozen Iranian assets as part of the prisoner swap with Tehran's Islamic State. Iran is a critical international sponsor of Hamas, which the United States has already designated as a terrorist organization. Trump says, and I quote, I predicted war in Israel immediately after the announcement that Joe Biden gave $6 billion to Iran, end quote. The former president said, saying the United States and Israel need a very strong partnership, end quote. So the question is, do we see a nexus, and I think we touched on it, a nexus between Iran, the nuclear program, and Joe Biden and Barack Hussein Obama's paying Iran for the nuclear program? And do you believe, with that being said, do you believe any one of the three of you speak up, do you believe that Israel will strike, have a preemptive strike against Iran's nuclear capabilities before it's too late?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Go ahead,
it's
Glenn.
Coming. It's almost like it's already been written. Mm-hmm. I think it that
is,
they're
but
going.
I would not,
they already
be
understand
careful
it.
Not to limit how that strike will take place. We know that technologically Israel has such advanced people in the cyber world that it could not only come with bombs and bullets, it may come with them sabotaging their computer
years ago. That was called, they called that the Stuxnet virus.
Yeah,
and slowed down centrifuges years ago.
Not only they could set off the bomb where it's located in Iran without ever sending a fighter jet over, with their hacking and with all this stuff and knowing what's going on there. However, their spy network, or however their defense network, failed over this last Saturday. How did the cameras get turned off? How did the sensor set around the wall there get turned off? There's something a little bit deeper here that I think we're seeing. And, on how those hacks got in and disengaged the most complicated, technically advanced border system and wall that is anywhere in the world. How were they able to get past those cameras and those motion sensors? There's something that's going on there that we don't fully understand, but I can promise you Israel will not stop until they get this thing resolved. And it's still for them an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.
Absolutely. It goes back to the war between two brothers. Dr. Pierce,
exactly.
one of the things that I see taking place, just as in the White House, when they were trying to find out how the cocaine got in the White House, the cameras were off in that area. So probably the cocaine was in someplace along the line there that Biden did not want found until the cameras were off. But switching gears, I read an article this morning that said that 32 New York City police officers are in Jerusalem now. They were there for the anti-terrorism training, and they are now in Israel but cannot leave. 32 police officers from New York City. What are your thoughts on that? Where do you think that's going? Glenn, you're law enforcement.
Yeah. Department of State posted the other day that they had folks exiting through Egypt. I don't know if that's been cut off now because you've had the murder of a couple of, I don't know, the U.S. citizens or Israeli citizens were murdered a couple of days ago in Egypt. So who knows? But parting from that area in any other way other than airplane is challenging, I'm sure.
I'll tell you this, from a law enforcement standpoint, Israeli Defense Force, IDF, and Mossad, they are on the cutting edge of terrorism defense, defending against terrorism. NYPD, for the nation of America and for New York is the cutting edge for defending against terrorism. Even before 9/11, they were already in the middle of trying to root out terrorism and find out who the perpetrators were, organizing, what the affiliations were. So for them, for New York to send people to Israel to train it's not hard to understand at all. It is where you go to get the source. And if you understand Islamic terrorism, you would go to Israel to find out how to defend against Islamic terrorism. But during the Obama administration, the reference to Islamic terrorism was stricken. It was erased from every FBI document for investigation of terrorism, because Obama is defending and has defended and continues to defend Islam and the Muslims. I've said before, even when Obama was in office, he said if there was ever a conflict with or against the Muslims, he would take the Muslim side. That's a clue. He was on camera when he was taking the tour in a mosque, and he declared that the most beautiful sound in the world was the call of the Hazan five times a day, Islamic call to prayer. Okay? His administration is still pushing the buttons and pulling the strings. How can America support Israel when we're not supporting Israel by supporting the terrorists? How do you do that?
Glenn, you're on target. In fact, it is not unusual to find that true. In fact, I read an article this morning that Canada, Prime Minister Trudeau, has ordered the newspapers in Canada to not use the term terrorist or Islamic terrorist with anything that's said about Hamas and about the war in Israel. That is washing the news. And I believe that is what we'll see take place in the next few days in America. In fact, it's not an unusual thing to find the media being in cahoots, as I would call it, with anything that's evil and wicked. And I'm looking at a headline that I want you men to address. U.S. Congresswoman slams Israeli apartheid, doesn't condemn Hamas at all and their atrocities. Representative Rashid Tlaib glosses over Hamas' murder of children and the elderly, instead placing the blame on Israel for the occupation as the root cause of the terror. Now, I'm not going to read the balance of the article, but my question is that I want you guys to answer. Is Israel occupying territory that belongs to the so-called Palestinians or Hamas or the Arab jihadists? Whose land is it anyway? And on what authority can we make that statement?
You have a
by divine title, God, Israel is that land.
Go ahead.
Did I get it? I could tell who was talking. By divine title, God has given the land to Israel. Okay? By the time King David was there, he bought the Temple Mount, the threshing floor. He bought it. It's paid for. But they have divine title to the land. They never took all the land that God's given them. And to give land up, oh, my goodness, that's a really bad idea. How's it working out for them? One of the previous prime ministers that was giving away land, the devout Hasidic Jews of Jerusalem, Israel, they came out and publicly said that they were praying for God to kill their own prime minister because he was so well protected they couldn't get to him. The man had a stroke. He briefly recovered, continued on the path of giving away land, giving away Israeli land, and then he died. You understand what I'm saying? God has given them divine title to that land. They should not give up an inch. They've never taken all of the territory that God's given them. They're still paying the price all the way back to Abraham, Isaac, and Ishmael. Ishmael, they're still fighting him. They're still fighting his descendants. Ishmael, a wild man, a man of war. They're still fighting him. When they were trying to take, after they come out of Egypt and they were going back to take the promised land, okay, they were fighting Arabs on camels with golden crescents around their neck, okay? They were already worshiping the Bedouin moon god, Allah, the god of the night, the god of sin. They were already worshiping that one god. Muhammad came in and knew that they were worshiping many gods, but he declared that Allah, the god of the night, the god of sin, all right, was the only one to worship. They've been fighting them for generations, but the land belongs to Israel.
Absolutely. And when you watch some of the video footage that's been released where the Islamic jihadists brutalizing women, young women, old women, even babies, and one day it's strapped in the back of a truck, nude, one woman, and then paraded her through the streets before killing her, we find the atrocities taking place. I'm looking at a headline from Jay Sekulow with the ACLJ. It says, and I quote, Israel is not only one of our greatest allies, but also where God's divine plan for salvation first unfolded. Yet today, Israel faces thousands of rockets and ground assaults from the enemies trying to destroy her. Hamas has engaged in an act of war on Israel, and even worse, it's taking civilian hostages. We must steadfastly pray for the protection of God's chosen people. Further in the newsletter, Jay Sekulow says, the international community promotes the false narrative that Israel is a danger to the Middle East. Yet we know Israel is a beacon of God's grace. Pray for God's divine protection for Israeli people, and the international community recognizes Israel's significance and protects her and her protection from the enemy, end quote. So what we're finding today, and I believe Dr. Pierce touched on it, and I had already unfolded the thought that we're watching God's progressive revelation of the last days. I call it the eschatological prophetic clock being wound and now starting with him, God placing the actors on the scene. The curtain is ready to lift. The rapture will take place. We'll see the man of sin, the Antichrist, step on the scene. And then as a result of that, we'll watch the wars and rumors of wars that Matthew chapter 24 tells us shall take place. I believe that we're seeing the precursor of the final days, as Dr. Pierce mentioned, ultimately goes into Ezekiel 38 and 39, where we find Russia leading a five-member nation that's primarily made up of and controlled by Islam to come against Israel. Right today, we're watching as the rumbling and the rattling of the swords out of Ukraine, out of Russia, out of China, out of Syria, and out of Iran, they will ultimately converge, according to Revelation chapter 16, verse 12 and following, will converge against Israel. So we've got about 1 minute. Each one of you men, if you would, take about 10 seconds to give a wrap-up thought for our listeners today.
Yeah, you know, the current Russian-Ukraine war is likely a part of the birth pangs that Jesus talks about in
yes.
Matthew 24 and Luke 21. And these things that are happening have been part of the birth pangs as we look all around. But mm-hmm. when you start having these proxies of Iran come in and stimulate what's there, it won't be long till all the sides come together that you were just reading, that Luke 21:9 repeats some of that, Matthew 24. When you hear of wars and disturbances, don't be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end does not follow immediately.
Yes.
And so we've got to understand this has got to happen, and everything's
Absolutely.
Just falling right into place.
Absolutely. We need to look up, lift up our head. Our redemption draweth nigh. Dr. Pierce,
Absolutely.
Greg, and Jeff, Glenn, thank you so much for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly.